Thanks very much, Liz, and some great talks taking us from regionally to nationally, and then we're going to zoom into what's happening more locally. What drives me is wanting to make the health service better so that we can improve the quality of life of people in our community, and also improve the efficiency in the health service to make sure that we're using our resources as effectively as possible. And I've been reflecting over the past few minutes about my experience of IT and informatics. My experience on the front line is that it hinders and slows me down still to many extents. We have ancient hardware that takes ages to boot up, to log in a whole plethora of systems, and Declan's highlighted the importance of taking people with you, and hopefully we can convince the clinical community that this will be short term pain, and there will be significant benefit to them and to the health economy in the longer term. And there is no doubt that we are collecting massive amounts of data, and we heard that in the past 2 years we've collected more data than ever before. And can we use those data more effectively to tell us about how our services are performing, and whether the things that we change in those services are actually making the differences that we expect? And that's what we're trying to do, partly within the Connected Health Cities program. And I'm one of the clinical leads within the Northwest Coast Connected Health Cities program. And the Northwest Coast Connected Health Cities brings together four main organisations: the Universities of Liverpool and Lancaster, the Innovation Agency, and Ames Grid Services. And Dennis is speaking to us later about some of the work that Ames is doing. And the team in Liverpool are leading on analysing the clinical data. And the team at Ames have done a fantastic job of putting together a data arc through which data can be accessed. And what we've done is we've created what's being called a trusted researcher environment. So that's clearly not a pointer. That's the death button. I've just entered Death Valley, I think. Okay. So I might wave. So it's on the far right side, we've got the data arc that's been created that meets all of the required standards. And our desire was that we were going to have a whole range of data sets linked within the arc. At present, we have DISCRO data or hospital episode statistics data in there for the whole of the Northwest Coast, and those are the data that we've been focusing on, and I'm going to show you some of the analyses of those data in the next few minutes. And on the far right side, we've got the analyst team who are based in the University of Liverpool and in the University of Lancaster, who are able to tunnel in through there and get access to the data and produce sensible analyses that will hopefully inform clinical and service decisions. So the first thing I want to highlight is around identifying cohorts of patients and demand that we have on our services. And our work is focused on unplanned care, and the two areas that I'm going to focus on are alcohol-related liver disease, which is a massive problem in the Northwest Coast, and then move on to an epilepsy example. So Right Care have been producing summaries telling us something about the provision of care in regions, and CCGs and STPs have been looking at their reports. Those reports do lack some clinical face validity, and one of the challenges within the routine data sets is identifying the cohorts of patients that you're really interested in. So the team has spent quite a long time developing algorithms to try and identify the right sort of patients. So one of the algorithms that's been developed is to try and identify the people with alcohol-related liver disease. So if you use a Right Care algorithm, you end up with estimating there are about just over 1,600 patients in the region with alcohol-related liver disease. But if you use a more sophisticated approach, you actually realise that the cohort of patients with that sort of problem is significantly greater. And obviously, if you don't know the size of the problem in your patch, how are you going to work out what resources you need to spend on that problem? And we're able to do some geographical mapping to work out what numbers of patients are attending a range of hospitals. And this slide just summarizes some of the data around Arrow Park Hospital on the left, showing what we might estimate in terms of number of bed days if we use our primary codes, and on the right if we're using our more sophisticated algorithm. And we clearly, and we can estimate, well, actually we need more beds devoted to this problem than we might realize. So we need to understand the size of these health problems. And we can drill down into the geographical data further. And the slide here shows that the hotspots of where people live on Wirral that are being admitted with alcohol liver disease. And we can see that 10% of the lower super output areas are where 40% of the people live that are being admitted to hospital with alcohol-related liver disease. So we know fairly clearly where the people live with this problem, so we can think about where we might want to focus our services. And the team are preparing reports, which are literally going to go out this week, I think, to each of the trusts in the region, showing how their care or workload compares with the average on Mersey and Cheshire. And the first page of the report is summarised here and provides information about numbers of admissions and case mix. And I'm going to show you a little more of the detail on the next slide. And on the far right, we have the data for our patients with alcohol-related liver disease. And we're showing how, trying to give an idea of trends, showing data from 2014-15 through to 2016-2017. And drilling down into the reports, we were able to provide information about case mix, so what is the age of the patients, something about their comorbidity, and in particular whether they have varices. That's a sign of rather late stage liver disease and can be a source of catastrophic hemorrhage. We're able to show them the proportion of people that have been admitted with alcohol-related liver disease in the past year, and we can see that actually there's quite a high rate of admissions in the previous year. So these are people on an escalating trajectory. We're able to tell them about their outcomes. I think one of the most worrying outcomes here is the 11 to 18% death rate with admissions. This is a condition, a serious condition, with high mortality. And there's also a high bed usage, as highlighted in the bottom right-hand corner. So using these data, we're able to tell hospitals about the burden and something about how they are performing with other hospitals in their region. The next example I want to give you is around examining what's happening in the context of a patient pathway. And I've chosen an epilepsy example here. And this reflects what we've been trying to do in the region to respond to the results of the national audit of seizure management in hospitals, which identified some major problems with pathways, and in particular, a complete disconnection almost between emergency services and neurology services. So we find that less than half of people presenting with a first seizure to an emergency department end up on a pathway that gets them to see a neurologist, and similarly for people with chronic epilepsy. And there are lots of people with chronic epilepsy that are bouncing in and out of the emergency department. And epilepsy is the most common of the neurological conditions, and it's probably a good surrogate for how neurological services are integrated with more widespread care. And there's a report out today from NHS England highlighting escalating death rates associated with neurological conditions in contrast to many other conditions, and also highlights the three times higher death rate of people with epilepsy from deprived areas, again highlighting a massive health inequality that we need to address. And I'm sure that this disconnection of services is part of the story behind that. So what we've done in Mersey and Cheshire is try to implement a simple pathway. And it's a paper-based pathway because the systems at the moment can't cope with an electronic pathway, and highlighting some of the things that Declan said, clearly we need to be moving to an electronic way of getting information very quickly from one place to another. And it's not rocket science. And as Declan said, it's about people, and it's about getting healthcare professionals to do things differently and to remember to do them. And we also have a problem whereby staff move on fairly frequently through emergency services. So every 4 months, there's a new group of junior doctors come into the system. So where is the institutional memory that helps that department make sure that consistently, despite the turnover of staff, things are done in the right way and people with serious conditions are put on pathways that get them to the right place at the right time? That's a people thing, not necessarily an IT thing, as you have heard. So we have a paper system which should basically help clinicians at the front line in the emergency department put people on a pathway to get them to a neurology department. And this was enveloped within a Vanguard project that's been run by the team at the Walton Centre. And the analytics that I'm going to show you has been some of the work that's been done to evaluate or underpin the evaluation of that Vanguard. So one of the simple metrics to look at is just whether people get an appointment. So the data here of a range of survival curves showing time to a neurology appointment after attending an emergency department. And the data are pooled across a range of years here in the first instance. Each of the different coloured lines represents a different hospital, showing that there's variability in the hospitals in the area. And I'm sure you can see that there are two groups of curves. There's a group of curves at the top, and that represents people that are already known to neurology services. And if you're already known to neurology service, if you've been to the emergency department, within 3 months, you've got about a 50% chance of getting a neurology appointment. If you're not known to the neurology service, your chance of getting an appointment is less than 20%. So a huge number of people with a serious problem not getting through to the right place at the right time. And it's not rocket science to sort this out. We can split that up and look within the region, and we can so the top left graph shows data for Mersey and Cheshire in blue, Lancashire in red, and Stoke region in green. And what we can see is that Lancashire, on average, are doing better than Cheshire and Mersey, who are doing better than Stoke. And we need to understand why that is. Is it something about the simplicity of the health economy in Lancaster compared to Mersey and Cheshire, which feels sometimes a bit like herding cats, or is it something else? And we can drill down further to the data to look on the right, and the top curves are again our people who are known to the neurology service, and there doesn't seem to be any difference between the three regions. But the people that aren't known to the service, Lancashire are much better at getting those people into the service. So we need to up our game, certainly in Mersey and Cheshire, and understand why that's the case. And we've created individual hospital reports, which have been going out 3 monthly for a while now, to show them how they're performing. And this is just the front page of that, showing some of the basic metrics. So one of the things that we've been able to do is to look at how this metric of having an appointment within 3 months has changed over time, and in particular since we put in the pathway. And you won't be able to see, probably from the front row, never mind at the back, but this is 2008, and this is 2017. And we can see that there's a trend upwards in the curve, which corresponds with when the pathway was implemented. Interestingly, there's this dip here, and that coincides with two colleagues disappearing, one with retirement and one with a health issue. And it just identifies, again, you've got two people missing in a service, has a massive impact on whether you can see people in a timely manner. But we can see from the data that putting a pathway in place starts to have an impact. But if we look at the far left, we can see that the y-axis only goes up to 45%, so we've still got a significant number of people not getting through at the right time. Two graphs now. One on the left is the pathway with nurse support, so three hospitals had a nurse employed part-time to try and make sure people got on the pathway. And on the right, hospitals without nurse support. Bottom line is that both either with or without a nurse, there's a trend for improvement. There's a greater trend for improvement with a nurse, but the amount of improvement is not what we'd want, so we clearly need to be doing something else. So we've done a natural experiment here. We've not done a randomized controlled trial, but we've used our routine data to work out whether what we've implemented has made a difference. And we find it's made a small difference, and we can now take that back to the team and work out, well, what's the next iteration? So this is the sort of the ideas behind a learning health system, using our data in a timely manner to try and be nimble and implement further changes to service. And in some ways, this is revelation, because I've been working in the health service for 30 years now, and my experience is that loads of things have been implemented, but not many things have been evaluated in this kind of way. We can do some further geographical mapping. So the graphs here show the hotspots for people being admitted on Wirral with seizures. And the circles with crosses shows where our community neurology nurses are based. And we can see that the nurses aren't based necessarily where the people with this problem are. So we need to think clearly about whether we've got our staff in the right place. And the graph and the map here shows where GP practices are, where patients with seizures are presenting, highlighting which practices we might need to work more effectively with to try and help deal with this problem. Okay, so they're the two examples that I wanted to give you, but hopefully I've given you an idea or an illustration that we've got a massive opportunity to use the data that we are routinely collecting to answer some really fundamental and basic questions that we might have about the need and the quality of care and provision of care in our region. Thanks.